most of this pretty quick. Let's just start at the first. We'll read a whole lot. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed unto Galilee. He must need go through Samaria. So Samaria was on the road, and all of you know this story. But Samaria was on the road to go from point A to point B, from Judea into Galilee. And roughly, this is roughly, but there was about 70 miles from Judea to Galilee, about 2.5 days' journey. And can you imagine walking by foot 70 miles, 2.5 days out there just to walking? Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Probably, if I understand time right, it starts at 6, and 9 o'clock is the third hour, and the sixth hour is around 12 o'clock. Jesus was tired. Y'all can go along with that or look it up for yourself. But he said, and then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. But I thought about Jesus there being a man, just like you and I are today. And he got tired. He said he got weary in his journey there. He wore out walking. And you can imagine, I can walk a mile and I'm just about beat to death. But there he was in Sychar. If you can look at it roughly, but it was 35 to 40 miles from where he left from. It's about a halfway trip to Sychar, there in the Samaritans, and he was weary and well done, and he'd walked a day, day and a half, whatever, and he sat down by the Jacob's well. And I thought about, as he just brought out, he saw in Jacob. He saw was out there in the woods hunting, playing, enjoying himself. But I believe Jacob, he said Jacob's well, he was out digging wells. Jacob was sitting up. How about God used Jacob to dig a well that hundreds of years later, Jesus would come to that well? I remember the Pharisees at one time, they tried to go through to kill out the people and fill up all the old wells of Jacob as a spite work. And that's kind of how the churches are today. One dig a well, another come by and fill it back up. Amen. But there Jesus was sitting, and he already knew. Can you imagine him looking back and say, look what my brother Jacob went through to dig this well, and here I sit, thirsty, walking through a dry desert land, walking through a problem land. I know you and I will look at our life and we think, I wonder why I'm walking through this. This was the darling Son of God walking through a place with no water, walking through a place that was dusty, walking through places where there wasn't no motels or hotels. There wasn't any place, and evidently, according to the Bible there wasn't anything to eat because he'd sent his disciples, and his disciples had went away to buy some meat, to bring some meat back for them to eat. So what we need to look at this today, that Jesus didn't have a life. Amen. Flowing with milk and honey. He didn't have a life. Amen. As some of us like to look at, Jesus had a life harder than any of us are having today. Jesus had a life with everybody against him. Jesus couldn't even stay in Jerusalem and preach. He had to go back over to the Mount of Olives every night, and he'd come back into Jerusalem and preach. And he said, now Jacob's well was there in the sixth verse, and Jesus therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. I thought about that faith. There he sat on a well, but he didn't have anything to draw with. He didn't have any way to get water out of the well. But he knew there was water in Jacob's well. So he sat down there. God's got a plan for every one of us. There may be a well when we're walking through one of the driest places that we've ever walked through, and our mouth is parched, and we're weary, and it looks like we can't go on. There may be a place that Jesus parks us, amen, to talk to a woman from Samaria. Somebody that's never known the Lord. Somebody like Jamie was talking about that's back on drugs, back on alcohol. A one that's laying in the side dishes. One sleeping on the picnic tables. We don't never know who God's got a place for us. But we need, when we get weary, we need to stop by the fountain. We need to stop by the well. Amen. And wait for God's will to be done. I thought, and I'll say it again, I've said it. People get tired of hearing it, I know. But God told me I could come on home. He told me this in the Spirit. But He told me I could come on home or I could come back and finish my work. Amen. So I choose to finish my work. I thought, well, maybe I've made a mistake, but I choose to finish my work. My work ain't done here. You know, me, my body, sometimes I'm in a weary land. I seem like everything's falling apart. You get calls that just tears you all to pieces, and families messed up, and things don't grow right. They tell you, you got this problem, you got that problem, and it's hard sometimes to face it. But glory to God, we need to go down and sit down by Jacob's well and just wait for God to bless. Just wait for God to use us. Janet sometimes don't understand how my nature and how my calling is. And I mean, she's not natured that way, and it ain't her calling. But if they take me away from people long, I'll crack. I gotta find me somebody to talk to. I gotta find me somebody to draw a little water, hey man. I get in the wilderness in a dry land, and I ain't like everybody else, so y'all don't be like me. But that's how I am. I gotta sit down and run my mouth once in a while. She done heard all of my stories. Yeah. She done heard all of my stories. We get over that. I got to go find somebody else that'll listen. I got to wait for the lady from Samaria to come by. Maybe that ain't heard about Jesus. I need to wait for somebody to come by. I mentioned it Sunday, and it was a blessing to me. Maybe it wasn't to nobody else, but the woman wouldn't talk no church or being saved or anything. But I had a chance to tell her the reason I was patient that day, and I ain't going to say the rest of the time, but that day the reason I was patient, because I got saved. Sometimes I forget where my water comes from, and I go on in a dry wilderness, amen, in a place that God ain't. I just continue on. I need to stop sometimes, Andy, right down by Jacob's well, amen, and wait. If I can't draw it myself, he didn't have nothing to draw with. Amen. How about it, Andy? God sent us a Moses, won't he? Even though it was a Samaritan woman. But there he sat, leaned up against the well, and his disciples had went away. And you reckon he was praying to God? I bet he was praying to God. God, send me somebody that can draw out some water. Hey, send me somebody I can tell about Savior, that I can tell about the living water. And he went on in the eighth verse, and he said, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me which are a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And I thought about, and you don't have to go along with this, but you think about us church people. Sometimes we're Jews. Amen. And we don't have nothing to do with those Samaritans. Too many times we don't have nothing to do with those that are outside. This lady knew that Jews didn't have nothing to do with her because she was from Samaria. Because they had been outs with the Jews. Because they were outsiders. Think about it, church. How many of us have dodged somebody walking along the street, or somebody that needed a little ride, or somebody that needed another dollar, or just a little of encouragement? How about it? She even looked up at him and said, "You're a Jew. Why are you dealing with me, a Samaritan?" There she was, already in shock. You know what might shock an old drunk more than anything else? Is if you just tell him you love him. That old drug head, hey, he's just waiting for somebody to love him. You know, too many times we throw in the towel and we give up when the fight is getting just close to a winning point. Too many times we get discouraged. I'm talking about me. Too many times I get in the wilderness and the first thing I know, I'm the only one that's out there. Bless my heart. But glory to God, God can use us in the wilderness. There's a well out there somewhere. I'm glad Jacob, the God of Jacob knew, and the God of Joseph knew all down through the line that there was going to need to be a well in that dry place. There was going to need to be some water. And I thought about, as they come from Nazareth, that trail was very well traveled. And as they come every year back to Jerusalem, amen, I'm glad that God seen ahead that he would take care of his people and have a well there in Samaria. I'm glad if we pass through places, there's somebody to feed us. There's somebody to take care of us. I've told it hundreds of times. Some believe it and some don't. But Butch was in prison in Raleigh. And we took Mama down there and the water pump started leaking on my... I had a 69 hose cutlass. And the water pump started leaking. And it was pouring, and we had to be up there at a certain time. And we went on to the prison, and I stepped out of the car, and on the curb was a $5 bill laying there on the curb. Went on in the prison, and y'all know how I am. I couldn't visit. My mind wasn't on God. My mind was thinking, can I get from Raleigh back home? Didn't have much money. You know how it was way back yonder. Ain't got much now, but didn't have hardly none then. I thought, what if this car breaks down? And it was on Sunday, and I finally found a service station. After we left the prison, I found a service station, told him my problem, and I got some water, and I left my radiator cap loose to keep down some pressure. If I never move out of my traction, Janet will vouch for it. Right across from Mountain View Church was where my mom and dad lived. I pulled into Mountain View Church parking lot, pulled that old car up there, got in with Ronnie Burnett, and went on to a service that night. Come back, and water had run all the way down the driveway and down 89. Every drop of it run out. Jerry Wilson probably still remembers. He had a little garage at that time. I said, "Jerry, I need you to help me. I got a water pump out on my car on a Monday." And he said, I'll help you. He said, "There ain't no way you drove that thing back from Raleigh." Mom and Janet was with me. We drove it back from Raleigh. And it didn't have a drop of water left in it sitting in low gap. That's God. Amen. It's been little things. That's a big thing. It's been big things all through my life that God has took care of that I couldn't move. And I know maybe that ain't no big deal. But in Raleigh, at that time, you couldn't get nothing. They didn't nobody care about you. They still don't. Hello. Our taxes prove that. Hello. I need to leave that alone. But think about it. God had dug a well for me along the way. God had had somebody. God has used mankind all the way through the ceaseless ages, amen, to get his job done and his people taken care of. I need to read 9 again. And then said the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, So she didn't know the gift of God. He said, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. He would have given thee living water. And the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From which then hast thou that living water? See, it said right up here that Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God. Amen. The thought that's on my mind, and I'll get to the verse where I'm going in a minute. But the thought that's on my mind today is how many, and I've been a sinner. How did you feel around a Christian? I was a Samaritan. How did you feel around a Christian in your hometown? How did you feel around the church people in your hometown? I felt like, and maybe they wasn't all, but I was a Samaritan. And I felt like they were looking down their snout at me. And then those holier-than-thou church people would say, he's going to be just like his daddy. He'll always be a drunk. They tell Janet, said, don't marry him. He ain't no count. He's got bad blood. Leave that boy alone. How do you feel? Think about it. When a sinner comes around us, not just in church, but when a sinner comes around us, I'm telling us the truth. When they come around us, wherever we're at, cafe, Walmart, how do we treat them? If we're not careful, the Bible speaks about it. When one comes in with goodly clothes and dressed good, we'll invite him to sit on the front row. Amen. But that old boy, that's a Samaritan, or we'll leave you out. All glory to God. I'm glad, and God's laid it on my heart to preach right here more than I do up front. Get on back close. Amen. But I found out the Christians are filling up the back rows till the sinner has to come up front. Hello? Think about where we're at today. Have y'all ever felt uncomfortable in church? I've shouted and testified. Andy Brannick knows it's the truth. I've shouted and testified in some places where they wished I'd leave. And you know, they about whipped me out. I about shut up. I'm just about to give place to them. Why don't I remember when I was in a wilderness, amen, and the first thing I know, there was a well of living water. Amen. Springing up into eternal life. And it was mine. And I had somebody to help me draw. I had somebody to help me. Oh, glory be unto God. We forgot where we come from. Thou art greater than our father Jacob, which giveth us the well. Let me read that again. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. And I thought, there's not a one of us. There's not a one of us. If we work outside or be outside and we're in the sun and the wind and our mouth gets dry, we'll go to all lengths to get us a drink of water. But our spiritual soul can totally dry up. And we don't reach out for that living water. We do everything that we can. There's thousands that says they've been born again that should be sitting in the house of God, not just here, but over our nation today, needs to be sitting in the house of God drinking or giving somebody else a drink. Amen. When I get depressed and out of heart, discouraged, not enough to write it down on paper, I know there's a way out. But I come to church and there's somebody God has sent that'll give me a drink of water. Well, glory to God. I praise God for the church, honey. If I was able and I felt like it, if I was young, I'd run to the back door and back. Because somebody would give me a drink of water. I know when a brother comes and he's got a shoulder problem, a brother comes and he's had open heart surgery, a sister comes and she's lost her husband, a brother comes and he's got problems. Amen. Somebody there, Roger, you've come with problems, honey, and somebody will give you a drink of water. Somebody will give you just a touch of the Spirit of God. We need each other. There's nothing, nowhere any more important right here on earth than the house of the living God. And we've made fun of it. We've let the devil beat us out of it. The devil has stopped us from coming to church. There's door after door closed. Glory to God. It's time that we give each other a drink of living water. I'm going to tell you, Jimmy needs you down there in Raleigh to pray for him. My son Scotty needs you to pray for him. He called one day this week. We hadn't heard from him in over a week. And he called this week and cried. And he said, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry for how I've treated you all." Maybe that's repentance. I'm looking, glory to God, for him to find a drink of water that'll live forever in his soul. Our children are lost. Children we've seen raised up in this church, and you could not get them in the house of God under no circumstances. They've got educations. They've got good jobs. The things are going good. They've got nice houses, fine cars. Everything's going good. But they're not drinking from the fountain of the living God. Amen. Amen. I can't make it. I know I can't make it out of the house of God if I'm able to be here. I've got a work to finish. You got a work to finish. All we think about is ourselves. And then when we get out, we try to take somebody else out with us. Amen. I've watched church people all over the land that's tried to... Corona's real. But I'm going to tell you something else. Cancer's real. Car wreck's real. Death is real. I need to go on. 13, and Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." 14th verse. "But the water that I will give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." You know, and he's probably watching tonight. Old boy in a wheelchair if he's not in bed. He said, "I had problems for several years with sugar and several different things." And he's been here a time or two, and I'm looking for him to come back, but he listens every week to our broadcast. And he told me, and I guess I'd maybe forgot about it, but he come to our old red house there in Logiop one time. He come and he was drunk. He didn't even know how he got there. But he told me the other day, he said, "Bill, that was the last drink that I ever took." He'd been all messed up in Germany and in the prisons, in the war, all tangled up. But he told me the other night, we was talking on the phone, and he told me, he said there was a hump there. And he said him and another guy had to stand guard ever so often. And he said it wasn't much of a hump, but it was a little hump in the path. And he said, "I could go up on that little hump and stand and look up." And he'd think, he said, "That's the same sky in Germany that's over Mount Uri." And he said, "That would give me comfort. And I'd go on back down and finish out my job, my service. Finish out my service." I appreciate some people that you've helped along the way that still appreciate you for helping them. Honey, there's people you've helped you probably don't even know about. There's some I've helped that's cussed me out. Woo! But I'm going to act like they love me. What's that, a gulf of love? Yeah. I don't know all them three loves, but I know the love of God. It's real. Amen. It's real. Amen. He'll take care of you. "Shall be in him a water well of water springing up into everlasting life." Have you ever seen? I've seen a couple of artesian wells. I'm talking about this is an artesian well. It just keeps coming out the top. It don't run dry. And you can't tap it off. It just keeps coming out. It shoots out somewhere. There's one over there in the over in Lambsburg, the last time I stood beside of it. In the mountain of Lambsburg, and that water's coming up. I stopped there the other day, but I didn't know that fellow, and the man I did know don't live there no more. He's dead. But we went on anyway. But that artesian well, and that water just keeps coming up. And the Bible says us that Jesus is a well of living water. Not one that's stopped and stagnated and nothing coming into it. Honey, an old, you can dig an old hole out here and it ain't nothing but a mud hole if ain't no living water coming into it. But if living water's coming into it, it's clean. It's purified. Glory to God, sanctified. I want the living water of God to spray through me. I need to hurry and get this done. They'll be out here wanting to run me off. And the woman said unto him, 15, sir, give me the water, that I thirst neither come hither to draw. She didn't come to draw this water, but she'd run up on the living water. And Jesus said unto her, go call my husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, do you think he don't know what he's doing? He knows every one of our thoughts and our moods. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. So she'd had five, and that's the one she's got now. And she said, I don't have a husband. She must have been a traitor. Hello? And he said, and the woman said unto him, sir, I've got something different out of this message than I've ever got before. And the woman said unto her, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. If you just walked up to somebody and said, you got two husbands and the one you're living with now ain't yours, they think you know something. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Let's read this 20 verse. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. So she knew a little bit. She knew a little bit of the law. He said, up there, sir, if thou hast nothing to draw with, if you just knew, if thou knewest the gift of God, who it is, that's in the 10th verse. Then Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour come when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. 22nd verse. He said, you worship, you know not what. Jesus said, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. I've wrestled this for, I think, 3 weeks. You worship, you know not what. So she told him there, she said, our fathers worship in this mountain. So she was still on the law, but she didn't know salvation. She didn't know Jesus. He tells her on in the Scripture, do you know who you're talking to? I am. I am he that you have heard about. I hope I can get this across and not offend. I hope I can get this across in the radio land or those that are watching by TV or Facebook, however. But I believe there's too many people knows the church is here, even down to the point that Jesus has come back, and that he died on the cross, and that he went back to heaven. I believe they know that. But I believe from the bottom of my heart that they're not worshiping him in spirit and in truth. We can't run to Washington, or we can't run to Jerusalem, or we can't run to that high mountain where our fathers worshiped, under the law. We've got to worship in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
And I'm a firm believer in the Baptists are some of the worst to run from the Spirit of God. We're so afraid that we're going to get sanctified, or so afraid that people will think we're holiness. So afraid to claim the Word of God till there be something required of us. When I pray, there's more required of me. When I read another verse, there's more required of me. So if I stick my neck out, there's more required of me. I need to step out and take on the whole armor of God. He looked at that woman and he said, "You don't know what you worship." Church, if everybody that had come through Mount Vernon Church, the 47 or 48 years I've been here, and I've seen the doors open, I've seen us raise, and I've seen us go down. But if everybody that come through here didn't know what they worship, the house would be full today.
Amen.
I know some died, but I'm going to tell you, some got mad. Some run off and pouted. Some mad at the preacher. Some married another wife and couldn't go. Some bought a farm and they can't come back. Some got their feelings hurt and they can't overcome. You know what? They're over yonder on that mountain trying to worship. They know not what. I'm going to tell you, if I'm out of the will of God with Janet or Jamie or Chris or Emma or Sonny, I can't talk to God. And I'm going to tell you, I believe we're trying to worship and we don't know what. I never got that message this way before. But ain't that what he said? He said, "Lady of Samaria." It ain't just that the Jews don't have nothing to do with you. He said, "You worship you know not what." So, the way I see it, she had a form of godliness, but denied the power thereof. The way my eyeball sees this, and the way my spirit sees this, she was looking to satisfy the flesh. This ain't an easy message. But one husband didn't satisfy her. She was looking to satisfy the flesh. And five didn't satisfy her. But the Bible said that she worshiped you know not what. I'm thinking when she come to the well, boy, she thanked God for Jacob's well being there. And she said Jacob had drank from it. Jacob had raised his children by it. All 12 of them, maybe more, but them I know about. And he took care of his cows and his animals. So I'm sure she was thankful for that. Every now and then I go take a hot shower, and I'm thankful for running water in a hot shower.
Amen.
Thank God this beats that old number two washing tub all two pieces. But sometimes I need to thank Him for saving a wretch like me.
Amen.
I need to thank Him for the well of living water. Well, this is a message straight out of John.
Yeah.
Have y'all ever heard that priest? I ain't never heard that priest. We've all read John. I've never heard it brought out. You worship you know not what. I know somebody brought it out. Bound to, Jesus wrote it down. He said, "We know what we worship." And I guess the question to me today, are we worshiping God? Would we worship God if all of our goodies was taken away from us? Would I walk 40 miles from Jerusalem to Sychar in Samaria without any water? Would I stop by where there ain't nothing and all my disciples and all of my people have gone to buy meat and there I sit alone? Well, I still have a testimony. When I didn't have enough strength or didn't have no access to draw water out of the well, would I still have a testimony to say, you worship you know not what? Do I worship? You worship you know not what? We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Mm. 23. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit. You notice what he said there? The true worshipers. The true worshipers won't run up on the mountain. The true worshipers. I won't get to go to Jerusalem. The true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. He's looking, He's out seeking for those to worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm afraid today we're sight worshipers. We're worshiping things that we can see, or that we can get our hands on, or that we want. I'm afraid we're a little more excited about a new car than we are worshiping God. I thought about what a blessing it's got to have been to you all. And I know you're right on the edge. I know how it is. But Dylan sitting there has made a step towards the living water. There might be a time when he ain't got nothing to draw with. You might be the one that can draw him a dipper full. Think about them that pass by your way one every now and then and give you a drink of water. I remember Junior Lowe, old Junior dead now, gone on. I just got saved. We'd had the Osborne brothers up, and I was in the Ruiton Club. I had to drop out, but I didn't have time for it. But anyway, I said, I'm not going to stay up there. I'm going to go downstairs, and we'll make hot dogs, and I'll do this. And I thought about it. He got the witness to me downstairs there, making hot dogs and hamburgers. He witnessed and he's witnessed, and I was learning. When he got done, I said, Junior, I got saved. Just a few weeks before. Just a few weeks before. And the last time I talked to him before he died, he was talking about that. Al listened to the whole deal. But he was drawing water from the well, not drinking. I'm going to hurry the rest of this. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. The woman said unto Him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. We, the church today, know that He's coming back. But we don't think it's going to be today. There she sat talking to the darling Son of God and told Him she was a worshiper. And said, I know that the Messiah is coming. There she sat talking to Him face to face and did not recognize Him. Have we recognized Him today? Do we know for sure that He's coming back? Jesus said, the Jews know what they worship. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. I'm the one. And upon this came the disciples and marvel that He talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou to her? Why are you talking to this Samaritan? The woman then left her water pot. I believe she left all she had. Some said she went preaching, but she wasn't preaching. She's testifying. The Bible says she testified. And the woman then left her water pot and went into the city and said unto the men, Come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. The 31st verse. And in the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. And he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said his disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? They're walking side by side with Jesus, and his disciples didn't quite understand. They knew he was Jesus, but they wondered why he wasn't eating. They were still questioning. We disciples today know that it's Jesus. We know what we need to do, and we're still questioning Jesus. They turned around and talked amongst themselves. Has anybody fed him? Anybody brought him in? They were concerned about him. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. To finish. So there Jesus had to finish the work of the Lord. He had to finish it. We've got to finish ours. We've got to finish ours. Say not ye, there are ye yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look into the fields, for they are white, ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit into life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whatsoever you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of the city, and I'm going to quit, 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him. I found over the years, if you can get through to one in a family, and they'll stick true, and they'll testify, they'll stick with it, the rest of the family will be touched. Here he got to that one Samaritan woman. She went into the city and gave her testimony. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, right here it said, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. She didn't preach, she testified that he told her all that she had ever done. And many of the Samaritans believed. When she got the real thing, she testified with power. And I believe it touched the rest of the Samaritans. If we'll get the real thing, I believe we can touch those that are in sin. I'd like to read the rest of the chapter, but we'll quit. The message I've had on my heart for 3 weeks. You know not what you worship.